Some say the church is no longer relevant, that the ages past have buried it. But I say the church is more relevant now than it's ever been. That and more coming up next on Faith Factor. Stay there.
Faith Factor.
Faith Factor.
Conflict.
Bible.
Reality.
Faith Factor.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Rod Hember here. It's time to wind up your mind because the cultural war is on. I'd like to welcome some new stations. World Harvest Radio on shortwave broadcasting into Western Europe. I'd like to welcome the listeners in Western Europe. Thank you for joining us on Faith Factor, a program designed to confront the cultural war. You say, what war? Well, there is a war between man as God and God as God. Is there such a thing as an objective authority? Well, we've had a lot of modern thinking about that. In fact, we're going to be talking about that on today's program as we look at the state of rebellion. Now, in order for there to be rebellion, there has to be an authority from which to rebel. We'll be talking about that. Is God relevant today with all our modern science, with everything? And how does it figure into the modern lifestyles that we like to craft as we say that man is God? That's all coming up. Stay there on Faith Factor as we continue and look at the ultimate source of rebellion.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
When we return, is the church an antiquated institution from the past, no longer relevant to the world today? Or is there something going on in a higher order, a higher authority that we should pay attention to? That and more coming up on Faith Factor. Stay there.
Thank you, Cerno. That is the message. So many choices, like choices of color, you know, red can or blue can. Now, let's recite our mantra. Toleration, not moderation, but to the fullest cup, start me up. We have a new member. His name is Chad. Chad, would you come up and tell us why you're here?
Hi, my name's Chad. I'm 18, and I've never had sex. I'm a virgin on purpose.
You're a virgin on purpose?
Well, yeah, that's... Well, I think I want to wait until I'm married.
All right, judge not, and you won't be judged. Now, we all have our unique problems.
Feeling alone? You're not. There are others who have proudly made the choice that purity matters. A message from Focus on the Family and this station.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
Rod Hember here on Faith Factor. It's a program designed to take the faith factor of today's living. Modern society doesn't need the church, doesn't need the Bible. What's the deal? Let's just get on with our lives and forget all the antiquated past. Right? Well, wait a minute. Let's think about that because it's going to destroy us. That kind of thinking is... Rod Hember here, Faith Factor. Okay, so let's get down to it. The question is a good question, and a lot of people in today's world say, well, you know, we don't really need the Bible. We don't really need all of this stuff being propagated by the, I guess you might say, the fundamentalist of the past. Well, we're dealing with this issue head on. There are the seculars, we call them the seculars, just as we are called fundamentalist, and our objective here is not to make a dividing line between the two, because frankly, all of us are human beings, and the believer or the fundamentalist struggles with the issues of God and the Bible just as much as the seculars do. The only difference between the secular mindset and the believing mindset or the fundamentalist mindset is simply that the believer or the fundamentalist believes in an absolute authority. Therefore, He tries to conform his life to such and measures his life to such. However, the secular mindset decides there is no absolute authority and the only thing we can measure our mind to is what we feel. This is a very difficult position to defend in the long run. In a condition of that nature, the secular-minded nature, it simply means that the survival of the strongest, the fittest, is the only one that makes the rules. So if you have the money, the power, the military, you get to make the rules and everybody else is irrelevant. And that, my friend, ends ultimately in massive discrimination, which is something the Bible does not teach. Massive slavery. Well, we're going to find out where this all started. According to the Bible, the world's best-selling book, over 5,600 documents backing it up, it is the Word of God. And there are I wills, there are recorded conversations that God himself has with the one called Satan, the rebellious one, the liar. One of those conversations you can find in a prophet of 7th century BC. His name is Isaiah. And here is what it says in Isaiah 14, beginning with verse 9. Now, this is interesting because this is God talking to Satan, who is a fallen angel, not a fallen God. He says this, "Hell from beneath is excited about you, to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, Satan, all the chief ones of the earth. It, hell that is, has raised up from their thrones, and all the kings of the nations shall speak and say to you, have you also become weak as we are? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, or the darkness, and the sound of your stringed instruments is here. The maggot is spread under you, the worm covers you. How long are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Isaiah 14, 11 and 12. "How long are you cut down to the ground, Lucifer, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation. On the furthest sides of the north, I will," Satan says, "ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God the Most High," Satan says. Yet God says, "You shall be brought down to Sheol, to darkness, to the lowest depths of the pit." That's Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 9, and going right down to verse 15. A conversation actually recorded from God to Satan. Now, what an amazing thing to think about. Now, first of all, as a fundamentalist, I believe in pleasure and pain. I believe in light and darkness. I believe in heaviness and lightness. That is to say, I believe that there is such a thing as gravity. Yes, I believe that there are absolutes that we can observe in nature. The absolute of gravity, the strong and weak nuclear forces, the electromagnetic force, the force of light, the force of dark, the force of heat, the force of cold. All of these are absolutes in nature, and they scream at our minds. They tell us that, in fact, the world is not relative, that there are absolutes. Even nature describes it. Let me tell you something, folks. Physics does not lie. And in physics, there are absolutes that we count on in order to measure. Now, with that in mind, the question then is, not is there absolutes, but what are the absolutes? And now we lead ourselves down a path, a very interesting path. Now, I use that to introduce our topic today as we discuss whether or not the church has any value in today's society. And it depends on two things. Number one, it depends on if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church, actually preaches, teaches, and expounds and lives and demonstrates the absolutes of God. If a church does not demonstrate, teach, preach, and expound and communicate the absolute truths from the Word of God, it is no longer a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word of God is demonstrated and fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, I would challenge your thinking today that the church is relevant only if it has something to say about the absolutes that are predicated through nature. Now, I'm not being pretentious here, because all you have to do is read the Bible and discover this book is different than any other book. Now, this is a very unique document. Now, with that in mind, we then come to our culture today. And we say to the culture, there are such things as absolutes. We are not God. We don't get to choose what's right and wrong. There is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. Now, with that in mind, our culture makes a decision whether to rebel against that or whether to harmonize with that. Now, with that, we're going to come back and talk about rebellion and actually where it comes from. As we've already read from Isaiah 14, we're going to talk about Pharaoh. We're going to talk about the story of Israel leaving the land of Egypt, a very pagan culture that had all kinds of idols, and actually ancient Egypt believed that Pharaoh was the son of Amon-Ra, that he himself was a god incarnate. Does anybody really believe that a man can be a god? Now, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ. He was fully God and fully man. That's a different story. But when we talk about the ancient cultures of the past, there's a very distinct difference between the biblical values as demonstrated throughout history and time, and between the values of mankind and man's culture when he thinks he's God. When we continue, does the church have any relevance in today's world when it talks about things like marriage, things like right, things like wrong? We'll talk about it. When we continue on Faith Factor, I'm Rod Hembry. Stay there. The good stuff is just around the corner.
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
Faith Factor. We'll be right back.
The cultural war continues.
Before we go on, just wanted to stop by and tell you about something that you can have when you help this radio ministry stay on the air. We call it the One Sheet Wonder. And the One Sheet Wonder is one sheet of biblical information and science. I mean, it's fascinating stuff. I'm looking in front of me at volume 1.2. Talks about the Bible ahead of its time. Also talks about Jeremiah 33:3, where God comes to Jeremiah and says to him, "Whatever you want to know about the unsearchable things, I will tell you." Then we comment about that. Also, dinosaurs and the Bible, and A Place for Life, the 140 specific conditions on the planet which must be maintained for life to exist, and how the Bible relates to that. Very interesting stuff. It's all on the One Sheet Wonder. When you write to this ministry and with an offering in any amount, what we're going to do is send this to you. Now, we're also going to send you a sample of the Quick Study Pocket Guide, which it takes you through the Bible in 1 year. What it is 1 month of the Quick Study Pocket Guide. All that to just say thank you for listening, but also to say thank you for giving to the ministry. Now, if you'd like to write to the ministry and keep the radio ministry strong, keep it on the air, then here's how you do it. Write to us with an offering in any amount. We'll send you the One Sheet Wonder and a sample of the Quick Study Pocket Guide taking you through the Bible in 1 year. Ask for it. That's what you need to do, is ask for it. Here's the address. Write to me in Canada. Our studios are in Orangeville, Ontario, Canada. So what you do is you write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, Canada, L9W5G2. Now, go through the address again. It's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. One more time for those on shortwave who are listening, I'll give you the address. It's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, Canada, L9W5G2. Again, if you write to us with an offering in any amount, we'll send you the One Sheet Wonder, and we'll also send you a sample of the Quick Study Pocket Guide. And if you want to sign up for the Quick Study Pocket Guide, we'll send you information about how to do that. Be sure and tell us that you listened on radio, because we have a TV ministry too. And let me remind you that any offering given to this ministry helps pay for the production and the airtime to keep us here and to keep us strong. Now let's get back to Faith Factor. The cultural war continues.
The Bible, true or false?
Conflict theology.
Reality.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. Rod Hember here. This is Faith Factor. And my job really is not to try to convince you of anything, but simply to throw some ideas out there that perhaps you may not have considered. When I talk about the cultural war, we're talking about the war between truth and lies. And I actually believe in such things as truth and lies. Very, very important. Some people don't. Some people are relative in their thinking, and they believe that lies don't really happen, that lies are defined as you go along. Well, the truth is, in the universe, we see all around us, we see gravity, the effects of up and down according to gravity on a planet. We see light and darkness. We see strong and weak nuclear forces. We see electromagnetic vibrations, for example. And there are principles and absolutes that surround physics in the universe and the nature of the universe. And it's very important for us to understand that there is an order to things, that there's a design for life. For example, there are 140 conditions that must exist on this planet, the planet Earth, in order for life to simply be. Now, those conditions, if any one of them were tolerance of say, 3 or 4% one direction or the other, there would be no life on planet Earth. Very important that we realize that the narrow spectrum of tolerance for life is extremely narrow. It is not easily, life does not spontaneously generate. It just doesn't happen. There's too much information involved. Well, one of the things that we talk about is we talk about rebellion. Now, in order for there to be rebellion, there has to be an authority from which to rebel. And in some cases in history, we look back at mankind and we say, well, there were some rebellious things that were good and some rebellious things that were bad. Good example, civil rights movement. In the civil rights movement, there was a rebellion against the thinking that our dear black people were slaves. That is a hideous thing, and it's a terrible thing to make a slave of any human being on the planet. In fact, it is so important that we realize the biblical teaching that the Bible says all of us are human beings. The Bible is not a book of racism. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 3 that there is no difference now between even male and female in the Bible, according to those who follow Jesus Christ. Very interesting. But rebellion has its earmarks. Bad rebellion has its earmarks. Rebellion against truth. And it's in Proverbs 16:18 that we can track it. It says this in that Proverbs: pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit or a prideful spirit before a fall. In other words, rebelling against truth will cause destruction, and rebelling against truth will cause a fall of order. Rebellion to the things of God, the absolute creator, begins with a pride that says this: I don't need anyone. I can make it on my own. This is always the first step to failure. Now, one of the things we discover and we find out as we take a look at the Bible, and I'm not going to argue the validity of the Bible because I don't have to. So many people can argue that in today's world. We don't argue whether the Bible is real or not. What we argue about is what it says in today's world. At least those of us who are studied and understand, we don't argue about the Bible with things like the Dead Sea Scrolls around and so on. We understand that there's something different about this book. But the results of resistance, the results of rebellion against the truths of God, it's a threefold process that happens when we begin to rebel against God. Number one, we have a loss of reason, futile in thought. This is Romans 1:21. We are unable to make any sensible argument because we rebel against order. We rebel against anything of absolutes. Therefore, we can't really reason against that which we don't believe in. Secondly, when we rebel against truth, we live for our lust only, and therefore we have a loss of control in our bodies. Romans 1:24 talks about that, a loss of control in our spirits. This, in fact, is something that is predicted all throughout the Bible when we rebel. Also, the third thing that happens when we rebel against the truths of God, the Bible calls it in Romans 1, verse 28, we begin to have a debased mind. What does that mean? It means that we lose respect for life and for the individual. Well, this is very important. We lose the respect for anybody's opinion except ours. Now, you know, this happened a long time ago in ancient Egypt with the Israelites. They lived in the land called Egypt for 400 years. And during that time, At first, when they went in, they were friends with the leadership of that country. However, because of Joseph, during the course of time, over 400 years, according to Acts chapter 7, verse 6 and Genesis 15, 13, 400 years of living in that nation as servants, the leadership changed and they made slaves out of the Hebrews. Now, this is a problem because ancient Pharaoh of that land believed that he was God. He believed that he could control the elements of the universe. He believed, actually, in his mind. In fact, the word Pharaoh is not even his name. According to the ancient Egyptian cult, he had 12 names, one for every month, and they were sacred names and could not even be uttered by anyone except the priest of the cults of the day of Egypt. These so-called sacred names were to identify this Pharaoh as a god, the son of Amun-Ra. Well, when that happens, God has to step in. And we see him do that in history. So what happens is God steps in and he says, I can't tolerate this kind of slavery taking place. And he brings a man by the name of Moses. Many of us have heard the story. Moses confronts Pharaoh, and I'm skipping the first part of this just for a moment because we'll get into that. Moses is given the tools to confront Pharaoh. But let me just say a couple of things about the book called Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible. It says in chapters 1 and 2 that Pharaoh is unsuccessful at killing the kingdom of God, but he is successful at killing the children of God. By the way, the heroes and the lifesavers in the first phase of this story called the Exodus are all women. The Bible identifies them. The third thing we see in Exodus 1 through 3 is Moses is rescued and trained in all the ways of the Egyptians. We see this because he was lifted from the water from the daughter of Pharaoh. But after 40 years, Moses grows up. Moses kills as his first act of rebellion against God. And God had saved Moses' life, but Moses was taught to take life by the kingdom of Pharaoh. Now, this later on would be something that Moses would be confronted. Now, in Exodus chapter 3 in the Bible, the second book of the Bible, Moses is deprogrammed in the wilderness. And then after 40 years, Moses meets God. And God calls him back to his original destiny. God gives Moses everything he will need to confront the demonics. You've heard of economics? Well, there is a worship of demons that was going on in ancient Egypt by the Pharaoh. So Moses is called to confront the demonics of that ancient land, and he's given everything he will need to confront it and to overcome it. So with that, we come to this passage I want to highlight just for a moment or two, Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. Here's what it says. But Moses, God says, I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among you and among them. And after that, he will let you go. Now, one of the things I want to mention here is that in every case where mankind is involved with rebellion to the truths of God, there has to be a shock treatment in order to pull him back into alignment with reality. I want to skip to Exodus 4, verse 9. And it shall be, God says, if they do not believe the signs that I'm going to give you and listen to your voice, that is to say the Israelites, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. And that water was from the Nile River. Now let me give you the three signs that God gave Moses. The first sign was he had a stick in his hand and God miraculously changed it to a snake. Moses reached out to pick up the snake and it changed back into a stick. This emphasized the authority that Moses had. Very, very important for us to remember that. The second sign was that Moses was to take his hand and put it in his cloak, which he did, and he pulled it out and he became leprous. Now, this is a deadly disease in that time. Moses then put his hand back into his cloak, it came out, and it was purely clean. So, in other words, God had said to Moses, I am the Lord that controls the nature of your body. I control the diseases of the planet. Very interesting, you know, when you stop and think about that. I'm the one that heals you. He would repeat this in Exodus chapter 15 later on. Now, the third sign was, and these were signs to convince the people of Israel that Moses was here to bring them out of slavery and to confront Pharaoh, the rebellious one. But the third sign, he said, I want you to take river from the Nile. We just read about it. Pour it on the ground. It'll become blood. Now, the river from the Nile River was considered by the ancient Egyptians to be, in fact, the very blood, lifeblood of the gods. So God would use this sign to show Pharaoh and to show the people of Israel that he was the one true God. So quickly, let's review. The first sign showed Moses that God had authority over the serpent, over the evil one, over the demons. The second sign showed that God had authority over the diseases in the world, all of the natural curses that occurred as a result of sin. And the third sign, God identified himself by saying, I am God, I am the one who does these things. Very interesting stuff. So now we go to Exodus 4, verses 13 and 14, and watch what happens. But he said, Moses said to the Lord, after God had given him all these signs, but Moses said, oh my God, oh my Lord, please send someone else. So the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Now, can I just tell you for one moment here that the number one problem in today's world is not the rebellion of those who are secular or not in the church, but it is the rebellion of those who are in the church. A lot of people talk to me in the United States of America, and there's a great move to get prayer back into the schools. May I suggest that I would like to see prayer back into the church first? Many churches don't even believe in the power of prayer. Many churches are deviating from the Word of God, and you know, they rebel against God. Well, Moses echoes the sentiment. He says, Moses says, send someone else. I can't do it. Even after God had given him all the signs. You see, here's the point. Moses wanted the wonder of God, but he did not want to do the work of God. The wonders of the Holy Spirit are here to press us into the work of God. And with that, I want you to think about it. That's the main point I want to get at today as we look at this passage. The wonder of God is to push us into the work of God. And in all the revivals we have all over the world, there's great wonders and signs. But may I remind all of us who are in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that if the church is going to be relevant in today's world of disease, death, and starvation, then we must be pressed into the work of God. And what is the work of God? Isaiah 58 says this, to free up those who are bound with chains, to satisfy the afflicted soul, to feed the hungry, to tell people they don't have to live like this, they can be freed up through the power of Jesus Christ. So the blessings of God are not for us to keep and hoard, but they are for us to be pressed into the work of God. So yes, the church is relevant today when the church, the believers in the church, don't rebel against their assignment to reach out to a world that God loves. I challenge you, if you're in the church today, get moving. There is no such thing as a lazy chair in the kingdom of God, and there's no such thing as retirement. Stay there. We'll be back. Rod Hember back just once again to remind you of our address. And if you would like an audio cassette copy of today's program, write to Quick Study Radio and ask for Faith Factor Program Number 6. That's Faith Factor Program Number 6 for an offering of $10 or more. That's $10 U.S. or more. Faith Factor Program Number 6. We'll send it to you on an audio cassette tape. Also, if you'd like the One Sheet Wonder and a sample of the Quick Study Pocket Guide, write to us with an offering in any amount. Write to Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study Radio, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. When you write, remember to send your best gift. It keeps this program on the air. We'll be happy to respond to you and also include your prayer request. We will pray for you. In summary, the church is relevant today only if the church follows the commands of Jesus Christ, which is to rescue the perishing. And if you're perishing today, let me remind you that Jesus Christ is as close as the mention of his name. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he will change your life forever. Join us next time on Faith Factor. Faith Factor is a production of Quick Study Radio.